There's just something beautiful about Christmas music, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It just calms you. In the mornings when it's a little dark outside yet, or in the evenings when it's getting dark, and you turn the lights on, mm-hmm. It just calms you. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a beautiful day to fellowship with. We have a lot to get through, as far as announcements, I'm sure. So I'll turn it to you guys and give us, Wanda, you have the floor.
I have a lot of announcements this morning. I hope I don't forget any of them. First of all, it's birthday Sunday. There's a treat you can take on your way out the door. It's your mom's birthday.
Okay, and as soon as you're done then, let's sing that song so I don't forget. Go ahead.
Don't forget the social tonight. Bring your food, your appetite, and let's have a good old turnout, okay? Invite your friends, your neighbors, your cousins, whatever. Show up and have a good time.
What time?
5 o'clock.
Okay.
For the food.
You're ready for now, so.
Sorry, thank you. And 6:30 for the entertainment. So if you can't make it for the food and don't want to overstuff yourself, so this is the stuffing season, please come and enjoy the entertainment. I have posted for the senior baskets a list on the bulletin board. At this point, I'm collecting for 18. If you know anybody that turned 70 this year, please let me know, because I tried to count up everybody I knew was 70, but I'm not sure if anybody has turned that and hasn't told us. We will be putting together the baskets on the 17th, and the bags, really, is what I got. We'll be distributing them on the 18th. Okay, let's see, there's something else.
Holiday market.
Right! Saturday, don't forget, over at the activity building, we're having a Christmas market. We have Christmas, we don't have holidays.
That's right.
It'll be from 12 to 5. We're having a bake table if you'd like to contribute. And please come and support. Kelly has done a lot of work getting people there. And we would appreciate if everybody could come and try to support Kelly with her effort. And this will go to the Ladies' Aid. The basket, or the table sales that Kelly has done, is going to go to the outreach program for the church. Because this is the time of the year that we extend money to different outreach places.
And her raffles will go, the money will go to Vacation Bible School.
Right, that she is having a raffle that is going to a vacation.
Along with that, I don't know how many of you know about Friday evening, that Friday before they're having down at this fire hall. And Kelly sent me a picture of the ornament. We purchased an ornament. The fire company was selling ornaments, and you could decorate your ornaments for the tree, the community tree. She did a fantastic job. And I said, place that right on front so everybody sees it, and maybe they'll come to Monocacy Church of the Brethren. But she did a fantastic job. So when you see Kelly, you know, we need to encourage these young people. Because if we look out across our audience, not many young people. So the ones we have that do help and do lend a hand, encourage them. Look how much Paul encouraged Timothy. I mean, he was always encouraging Timothy. So let's encourage our young people.
Thank you, Jerry, for reminding me. The flowers in the windows, there's cards there that you can put in memory of your loved ones that have passed. Plus, if you'd like to give a contribution to the Ladies' Aid for the flowers. I think that's it for this week. Thank you.
Now, before we forget and ask any more announcements, let's sing that birthday song. First, who has birthday in December?
Jeannie, put that hand up there.
Yeah. Right. Kathy's is only a couple days away, right? 2 days away? 1 day or 2 days?
Tuesday.
Okay. Frank, yep. Yeah. I have quite a few birthdays in this month, too.
Oh.
Yes, he does look good for 93. Okay, let's sing that song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Now, are there any more announcements?
I'm just going to follow up.
She already said about birthday treats.
I'm going to follow up within 2 weeks as our Christmas candlelight service to be that Sunday evening, the 18th at 6:30, and it will be a night of magical music. So come out and support the singers and the music for that night.
Okay. Any others? All right. Now let's do a call to worship, Psalm 72, verses 18 through 19, and please follow along where I err, you can correct. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the many blessings that you give us in our lives, the many answered prayers, Father, and we just thank you for this season of loving and giving. Father, help our hearts to open up wide that we may receive blessings in, but also send them out, whether it be making a meal for a shut-in, whether it be visiting a neighbor that's just not having a good week. Father, there's so many things that we can do this time of season to bring you out, to bring Jesus into the lives of others, because that's what the reason for the season is, Jesus. Father, now we just ask that you be with us, guide us and direct us, and help us through this life's railroad, because sometimes it's twisting and turning, and we just ask that you be with us. And it is in Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Okay, now we can all participate in hymn number 83.
Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
do not actually lift an offering. The offering love box is in the back of the church. Now, let's just ask a blessing over the money that's lovingly placed in the baskets. Bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we would just like to ask that you would bless the monetary gifts that are in the love box, that help us to be wise stewards, that we would use your money to glorify you and glorify your kingdom. Help us to use the money to help others, Father, for that's what we're about, outreach, to help others. So, Father, we just ask that you bless the money and bless the dear hands that have provided it, those that have labored the week long, those that have labors of love. We just ask that you bless each one. In Jesus' precious name, we ask. Amen. Okay, the Advent wreath. Today is the candle, the peace candle. I'll let you light it, Jerry, and then I'll... Our scripture comes from Luke 2, verses 13 through 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Jesus is sent by the Father to bring peace between God and man. We are caught up in struggle, strife, and sin. Jesus doesn't come, however, to smooth over our conflicts, nor does he come with an armed might to force us to lay down our arms. Rather, he comes to die for the sins that lie at the heart of our rebellion against him. The Prince of Peace takes upon himself our sins and unrest. As Isaiah put it, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. That's in Isaiah 53, verse 5. To receive his peace this Christmas, come to remember him and surrender, and through the act of faith, receive his grace of forgiveness. Amen to that. May we bow our heads. Father, forgive us our selfish, rebellious hearts. We open ourselves to you and invite you to come in to us afresh and grant us your peace. And it is in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, sharing joys and concerns. Who do we have? It's a joy to have Sister Jackie and Brother Sam.
It's joy to see Alice back again.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And that's something, I forget the one that's closest to me, yeah. But I was so excited out in the parking lot, she surprised me.
And please keep the Baker family on our prayer list.
Karen?
Yeah, Pastor Tracy's mother.
Yep, I have that down here. Pastor Tracy's mother is home from the hospital now, but they have called hospice in. Did he say in that email she's 89 or will be 89?
I can't remember.
It's 89, but I don't know if she'll be 89 or she it is 89. But just keep them in family in prayer. Danny?
Put me on the prayer list. I'm having a procedure in my neck tomorrow.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to keep the Meissner family on.
Yes.
And the loss of Skipper. Also, my list. There's joys and concerns in that list, but I'll just keep my list.
The Grimm family also.
Yes.
The Grimm family.
Oh, yes.
That lives down over the hill with their son.
David's Grimm's family.
Nice to see Linda's sisters and future brother-in-law, I assume.
Yes.
This is good.
Yep, yep. What a blessing for family, is it not?
And one of our own here in the community, keep Betty Ann in our prayers too.
Yes, traveling.
She left us for a few months and we just still need to keep her in prayer.
Along with that, we'll keep Carrie Ann and Maddie will be coming back Monday from visiting her dad in Florida. Bob?
Myself and my family, with some of their situations they got going on, and I don't need it labeled out, he knows what it is. And we're grateful for that, and just to have the sunshine. It is a little colder today, but it is this time of year. And we just praise God for our presence here and all who come out to attend. And Jackie and Sam, it's always wonderful and a blessing to be with us. And I'm grateful too for the committee that got together the other night for the directory. It was well handled. It just went, I felt real good, and I think it'd bring everything up to date. And just may God bless each and every one that was there to put that together. And Frank and Pat for the supplying their home and their food, always. You never go away hungry. You know, that's the way it is with Jesus. You never go away hungry.
It was a blessed group. I appreciated the input and so forth so much.
Any others? Okay, I have Alice's friend George Pierce. He's still in the hospital. So let's pray. I'm going to give you something specific to pray for this week, that the University of Maryland opens up a bed so that he can get transferred there. He's been waiting for that. So we know how our world is today. The hospitals are shorthanded and whatever. So let's just pray that the channels open up, that he can get there. And then the second thing, pray for, give the doctors the wisdom to know how to treat.
Amen.
So I ask you to pray for those two things for George this week. And we always need to remember to pray for the booklet back there, the ones that are wrote in, the prayer book, and our directory. Any others? All right.
My friend Carol is in the hospital on specific reasons, but she said she's going to be here a while, so keep her on the list.
We really need to keep our country and its leadership in prayer, too.
Amen.
I don't know if you all get out and about, but the more you see at the stores and things, we're starting to be a third world country. But through his grace, we'll get through it. We won't worry about it. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Precious Father, here we are once again. A beautiful Sunday morning, the sun shining bright. Your house is filled with the loved ones. Your house is nice and warm and cozy. We can feel your arms around us. Father, we just can't begin to thank you enough for all that you do. All the blessings and all the answered prayers. And all the times that something happens that we are thinking of, and something happens and we just know that it was your hand that made it happen. Father, you are precious. Your gift of your son, Jesus, the greatest gift of all. We thank your son for being so obedient to go to that cross to cover our sins once and for all, Father. Father, now you know the list is long, and we just want to go through the word, the names. You know each and every need, each and every care. So, Father, this day I lift up to you the Baker family, Pastor Tracy's mom, Danny's procedure, the Meissner family, Jerry's list, the Grimm family, and just family, all of our families, Father. You know that that is first and foremost on our list a lot of days that we pray for our families. Traveling mercies for Betty Ann and Carrie Ann and Maddie, for Bob and his family, for our search and a pastor, Father. We continue to ask that you bring a shepherd to Rocky Ridge. And when he comes, that he may bring light and enthusiasm and put this church back to life. Father, we think of George. We think of Karen's friend Carol. We think of our country, our leadership. Father, we just ask that you would be in the midst of all, that you would work in a mighty way. Father, we think of our police and our military. We ask that you would bless them with safety and good health. Bless their families as they wait at home for their loved ones to come home. Father, we just ask that you would keep a special hedge of protection around Kyle, Caleb, Elijah, Ian. They all serve in different forms, different manners. Father, keep these young men in your hand. Father, we think of our schools. Father, please, you guide the boards of these schools. Put in place good Christian men and women so that we can bring our school system back to what it should be. Mm-hmm. Father, we just ask now that you would cover those that are written in this prayer book. You know each and every need. You know each and every unspoken prayer that's listed here. We just ask that you work in a mighty way. We lift up our church directory to you, each family that's listed there. We just ask that you would touch them, touch their hearts in a mighty way, that they would have a strong, burning desire to come back to your house, to come back to you, Father, to come back to your love. Father, we just put it into your hands. Father, now we just thank you for Pastor Sam and Sister Jackie. We just ask that you would bless them for their efforts. And Father, we know that Pastor Sam has studied and he has prayed and he has studied some more. So Father, we just ask that you, when he gets behind the sacred desk, that you fill him full of strength and spirit. Let the words flow freely and let those words be words that you are sending to us. And us as listeners, let us open our hearts and our minds to absorb, just like a sponge absorbs water. Let us absorb what your words are today, that we may strive to do your will and to live a life that is pleasing to you. Now let us unite our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we can participate in hymn number 84. For those who can, please stand. Thank you. sermon title today is How to Wear the Armor of God with Victory. We surely need that armor every time we step out our door. Because the scripture reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. And I always like when I open for Brother Sam, who usually gives a short verse, but a mighty, powerful sermon. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly, I ought to speak. Amen. Now let's give Pastor Sam our undivided attention. One thing about it, when Brother Sam speaks, you don't fall asleep. He keeps you on your toes, right?
Right.
There you go.
And we have those buttons under the seat in case you haven't felt it yet. Appreciate being here, Rocky Ridge, on Sunday morning. One of my questions about this church has been answered. What do you do if the fire siren goes off during the service? Looks like two things. You look around, make sure the church is not on fire, and then go on the program. So I guess that's about what it is. So we had that during Sunday school this morning. The siren goes for 18 seconds. I counted a couple of times before it cuts off and comes back on again. So, if you can't be awake in church, you're awake in the community. Ring the bell and sound the alarm and worship the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks today for your grace and kindness. Thank you for the word of God. If we only had the word of man, we'd be so confused. Thank you. We have your word. May we do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
In these messages, we've been talking about the armor of the believer. You're going to have on that belt plate of truth. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You got your gospel shoes on. Right? You got that shield of faith. Your helmet of salvation. And you got the sword of the Spirit. And you're raring to go.
Amen.
So what are you going to do? You've got this armor on and raring to go. So when I was growing up, my favorite word at the farm was sick 'em. We always had a dog, not necessarily a pet, but a working dog, usually short-haired collie. And we'd train them to help bring the cattle in. And as a child, I had to learn, you don't run milking cows when they're about to be milked.
No.
You can walk at a good pace. So the dog and me had to work together. We had Rover 1, Rover 2, and Sport. As the Lord would have it, the best dog was in my dad's final days when he was almost too weak to farm. And I had to take over and run the farm while I'm pastoring down in D.C., open the back door and say, sick 'em! And those cows would start to come in, except one mother cow that thought that she was the boss of all, and her tail paid the penalty for that. But I've learned over the years, sick 'em isn't always the best thing to do. So you got God's armor on, you're ready to go out here, the fire company is already gone, and you're going to chase the devil clear out of Rocky Ridge. What does the Bible say the first thing we should do? What's the first word for today's sermon? What's the first word in Ephesians 6, 18? We just looked at it. What's the first thing we got the armor on? And
pray.
Are you serious? I mean, I was going to go get them. I was going to go sick them. But praying in a war, in armor and all, communication is vital. In an army, you're not going to win any war if there's not communication. In the Civil War, the Confederate Army had their headquarters, and then the armies and the movements out there, and the Union. There's a famous story here in Western Maryland that in those days they didn't have radio. So they had a soldier would carry, the headquarters make the plans, and the soldier would carry that to the field units out there. One time, somehow the orders that he guy was carrying dropped out of his boot or his pocket or something and fell alongside the road. And they would take this order and they would put it on paper and they would wrap the paper as tight as a cigar, they said. And later on, a Union guy was walking down the road and he happened to see this. That looks kind of funny. He picked it up and here's a Union soldier realizing he has Confederate battle plans. So back to the Union headquarters. The result was when the Confederates went to execute their battle plan, there was a Union army waiting for them. What happened? Communication didn't work. So how long can you do God's will and not talk to him? How long can you serve the Lord and not check in? So the word has continual communication. Now I'm looking over here at Jared for my next illustration, but I'm sure I get this right. We have a police department in Thurmont. When they're on duty, is the radio always on? Better be.
Better
right.
Be, yeah.
When that policeman is out, that radio is always on. Doesn't mean he's always talking on it. So when we say praying always, it doesn't mean hands folded and your eyes closed all the time. But it means you're always in communication with the Lord. If you want to know how many policemen we have around here, just let the call go out. Officer down on Water Street in Thurmont, and you're going to see Maryland State Police and Frederick County, might even be Walkersville and Emmitsburg. You've seen them coming from everywhere. We've been times when something happens, I didn't know we had that many policemen. But that radio is always there. They're always in communication. And so we always want to be in communication. It says always with all, and then it has two words, prayer and supplication. These are two different words in the original language. The word prayer means prayer in general. Karen and I talk about Sunday school and church. I probably enjoy Sunday school more than you folks do. Because what David Jeremiah is talking about is what I've already prepared, so I know somewhat what I'm going to say. And Karen has a little idea because I give her a head start with the bulletin announcement. But David Jeremiah today was talking about praying. And we're talking here today about praying. Hello? Hint? Is God saying, I want to talk to you? So prayer, this first word is a prayer in general. We ask the Lord to bless the missionaries or for you folks, the Heifer Project and the various things that the church is doing the holiday season. And it includes worship and thanking the Lord, thanksgiving to the Lord. As David Jeremiah said, you don't just barge in. You ought to thank the Lord first going in. And have you ever had this time of prayer and never asked for anything? Just thank the Lord. I mean, we have a Thanksgiving day, but should we have a Thanksgiving life? It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So we're always in a attitude of prayer. I know that every project that I do, I'm in prayer. I can either pray before or, and that will be, Lord, lead me and help me and so forth. Or I can get in the middle of it and say, Lord, get me out of this mess. You're going to pray anyway, so why not start it with prayer? It's a lot easier to say, Lord, help me to make this thing work right. And so we have this idea of prayer. But the supplication is something for a need. So we pray, Lord, bless our hospital system. But then bless you when you have surgery. So one's general and one's specific. The Bible tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may help in time of need. are we ever needy. As I get older, I'm surprised at how needy I am. I think I've been needy all along and thought I was going to do it on my own. The older I get, the more I have to depend on the Lord. Well, I got a track record. I'm not going to talk about that track, dead end of mistakes we make. So the Lord wants us to pray and follow the Lord. Now it says we do this in the Spirit. It's amazing how the Lord will help us in our time of need. And maybe neighbors will come to you and they'll ask you to pray for something. That's a good testimony. That they know if I have a prayer request, I know who to get. I think maybe I mentioned my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, Terry. He calls Jackie and me the big hitters. Heavy hitters. When he calls, we know it's a serious prayer request. And I keep telling him, oh, we're the heavy hitters. But I'm on third base. Fly ball will get me in. So you can pray too. So we all can have prayer. It's not just for the clergy. If you're praying, and I start praying, God's not going to put you on hold. Now, on our phone, sometimes people call, and you see the other call, and you put them on hold. God doesn't put us on hold. So we pray all the time in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Jesus intercedes for us. One word for Jesus is advocate. We would use the word lawyer. Have you ever had a case that had to go to court? We had a mountain land one time as a dispute, and it had to go to the court. We'd have a lawyer. And he knew things about the law I didn't. So there were ways in we're presenting our case where he helped me along. I'm not going to lie, but this is how you can present your case. And I depended on him. I don't know Maryland law. He knows Maryland law. And so we go to court because they know what's better. We're asking the Lord for thus and so. And Jesus is interceding for us. I won't go there today. But we could discuss today the times God didn't answer the way you prayed. And later on you say, well, I'm sure glad I didn't get that. Did God ever tell you no? And you're glad you got a no. I look back in life and things I thought I needed, I'm glad I didn't have. So we're always in prayer. But the second part of it says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Watching. Not merely being awake, but alert. That means you can pray with your eyes open. Probably, I pray with my eyes open as much as I do with my eyes closed. First of all, I take my morning walk. I go by Frank and Pat's house. I don't knock. They don't invite me in, but I keep walking. So when I'm walking in the mornings, I'm praying, I'm talking to the Lord. And depending on the time of the year, whether the sun will be up, or the sun's just coming up, sometimes the moon is setting in the morning, sometimes the sun's just coming up. One time, we had an incredible sunrise. The sky was massive. What very people saw in his own time had ever happened. We had a massive sunrise and a rainbow in the west. I've never seen a rainbow in the west over toward Catoctin Furnace. So I was walking between sunrise and rainbow. And what was the deal with this? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know who made that. The Lord made that. The Creator made that. So I'm walking around and praying and thinking about the Lord. And thanking the Lord and praying for the various people who are by their houses. I know who they are and praying for them. But my eyes are open because I want to see where I'm going. And driving. Do any of you ever pray while you're driving? Lord help, here we come. Bang. Now, we're all priests. and watching what we're doing. But in another way, is anybody watching what's going on in America? Is anybody awake? Hello? Anybody there? I don't like COVID. My wife and I had it, so I know how it feels a little bit. She worse than I did. But maybe one thing that we learned in America through COVID, remember when they shut down the schools and the kids are home and mom is watching, they're teaching what? And so our school boards are getting a wake-up call. Parents are finding out what we're teaching them. You can't say he or she or them, or you gotta use they for what? There's one person I see there. And what's happening in our public schools, the school boards are finding out parents are awake. We're realizing what's happening. I don't know if anybody's awake in the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House. Did the last election wake us up? I mean, how long are we going to sleep? Now, we have a verse of scripture. I don't like where that verse goes, but it's happening. It says the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked. It's like the whole world is being rocked to sleep by the devil. It's not good. So you have a child that's noisy and won't settle down. And what do? You get them rocking, get them to sleep. Many, many years ago, when our granddaughter, now she's got three kids herself, when Becca was little, she sometimes just couldn't settle down. Right, Becca was, we wouldn't say hyper, but maybe a little stronger will than I am. I don't know. But the family said to me, Dad, you've been putting people to sleep in church all these years. Put Becca to sleep. Thanks a lot. I took little Becca, about 18 months old, in my arms and a little, and next thing she's asleep. So Becca can go to sleep and please don't you go to sleep. But the world is going to sleep in the devil's arms. What's happening across the country? And I'm going to blame the churches first. Revival is not going to happen in Capitol Hill. It's going to happen in the pulpit. It's going to happen in the Bible. So it begins with us. So this watchful means keep alert what's going on. Mark 13 says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know what the time it is. Are you watching the time? Now, this is football season. And one of the things that will be characteristic of a winning team is managing the clock. You aware of that? Managing the clock. Do you know what time it is? It's 2 minutes to the end of the game, and you're behind by 4 touchdowns, and you're walking across the field. Do you know what's going on? People don't know what time it is. And we want to be aware of what's happening in our country. We're looking for the coming of Jesus. And he can come today, it's fine with me. So we're watching. The perseverance means tenacity and endurance. Keep at it. Salvation is you accept Christ as your Savior. When you accepted Jesus, did all your problems disappear? Your health restored? Your bank account doubled? And it's just smooth sailing to heaven? Well, I must not be saying that. Because there are problems all around. And I agree also with what David Jeremiah said. And it's been true in my life in more recent years that I think God gives me problems that only he can solve. Because it must be the only thing. If I can figure it out on my own, I do it. But I think God wants to do it so that he only can do it, so he only gets the praise. And that's what we want to do. Praise the Lord for what he's doing. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Now, most of us have raised our children. Now, we have 3 married granddaughters with 6 great-grandchildren between us. And I just, I enjoy sitting back and watching my granddaughter's mother and her children. How are they going to do that? How is he going to do this? How are they going to do that? Thank the Lord. We have great, wonderful grandson-in-laws. They all married men that love the Lord. In fact, right now, we're involved in 5 different churches, which on Christmas Day is going to be a little more problem negotiating because we'll all be in our own churches. But it's great to see them persevere and work with the children. And our oldest great-granddaughter, her little school in her kindergarten, they had a little program recently, and my heart was touched to hear my great-granddaughters singing, "Tell me the story of Jesus, right in the heart of every word." I mean, I almost started crying now about it. Then I have a great-granddaughter that wants to hear the words of Jesus. So it does work. People tell you kids won't turn out right. They will. Follow the Lord and God will bless you. And then it says, for all the saints, it talks about the family of God. I think it's great. One advantage of being in a church is you have people to pray for you. I've wondered about the average unsaved person. How many people pray for them? In the church here, you could say you got 40, 50 people praying for you right now. We have the same problem. We have the same health problems, right? Our bones, our knees, our bodies function the same. We go to the same doctors. Isn't it great to have people praying for one another? I didn't realize how many prayers I had people praying for me until I had a colon resection. And then there were people that called me, and I didn't know they even knew I was in a hospital. But it was great. A family praying together for one another. That's an advantage of being in church. I feel sorry for someone when they get down and have nobody help them up in prayer. So it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Thus far in my ministry, I've never had a Sunday where everyone had a bad week. Maybe you had a rough week, somebody else lifts you up. Next week be you. I hate to admit it, sometimes it's been me. I said, man, do you know a preacher can have a bad week? Can you know it? He can run his car in the end of the garage and bust the front end. Even if he does live in Fremont. Thank the Lord for repair shops. I won't go further on the illustration because you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you did it too. So we have one another. But this thing of praying for one another. And I like to listen to when people pray, especially when people pray for me. I like to hear, what do they say? Lord, help that dummy get this thing right. Okay, I'll go with that. I had a missionary that was a member of our church. And so one Sunday, Al came to me at the church and said, give me some prayer requests. So I'm going to write down some prayer requests. So as a pastor, here I gave a parishioner who's a missionary some prayer requests. And some weeks later, I've forgotten about this little prayer request thing that he had. And Al asked me some very specific question. How did this go? How did that go? I said, how did you know that? He said, I wrote it down. And it was encouraged me. Somebody wrote it down and kept praying. And then he wanted to check back with me to see what God did about it. So that's the kind of prayer. God doesn't mind you giving a track record on it. What I do every year, and now is my finished the 60th year. Every year at the end of the year, I write down some prayer requests that were obvious. God intervened this way. God review what I'm doing and so forth. And so if Satan comes along and said, God's not doing much, I say, go look in the file. It's under the why for year. So God has a great track record. The amazing things God can do in our lives and for others. It says, confess your faults one another and pray for another that you may be healed. So we're great to be alive and watching. Now verses 19 and 20, we have this armor on. It's not to walk around in a parade. It's warfare, and we're going to win. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So as a church, Are we on the defense or the offense? We're on the offense. We're going out. We're telling people about Christ. When you witness, you're giving this gospel to someone who's in Satan's kingdom. He doesn't like that. Have you ever taken notice? Some people, their mouth can go a mile a minute. When it comes to talking about Jesus, they get lockjaw. And your knees begin to shake. I want you to know this passage here, because it's going to be important, but I'm going to say in the next couple, two verses. These verses were written when Paul was in prison. So when you're in prison, I guess you got to be careful what you say. They might chop off your head if you're in a Roman prison. So he says these things. He says, I want you to pray with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching with perseverance and so forth, and for me. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul asking you, would you pray for me? Me? Pray for the Apostle? Are you serious? When are you going to pray for the Apostle Paul? I mean, he wrote the book. But there is a need. So pray for a pastor. And I appreciate when you pray that I be used of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord. And pray for your leaders in the churches and so forth. David said that utterance may be given to me. I just can't imagine. Paul says, I pray I know how to talk right. He wrote the book. But you can have a slip of the tongue. One time I prayed very definitely. The Lord would give me an opportunity to witness. I got the opportunity. And I totally fumbled it. I couldn't believe it. I said, you've got to be a dummy to ask God to give you a chance to witness. And I didn't do it. My only prayer was, Lord, I pray the next guy's more work than I am. So we can fumble the ball sometimes. But we ask God to forgive us, and then that we would serve the Lord. He says, for me, that others may give to me, that if I open my mouth boldly. Boldly means plainly. It means assurance and confidence. Acts 4:29. Pray to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word. Now there's a difference between boldness and brazenness. I'm the kind of person, I want to live the Christian life. I'm not really an in-your-face Christian. I'm not the kind of guy who walk up to the guy and say, repent or perish. Turn or burn. I had a roommate that went home from school and we were told personal evangelism. He witnessed to his twin brother. His twin brother absolutely wouldn't have anything to do with it. He put a headlock on him and threw him down the steps. I said, Doug, I don't think throwing a guy down the steps is going to get him saved. But the light of Christ, let your light shine, that they may see your good works and will do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So this boldness is that we have the confidence and assurance that you may make known. That people may make known. My wife reminds me continually that I assume too much. See, when I went to public school here in Frederick County, we had devotions and Bible reading every day.
Amen.
In high school. And no one ever got shot. No one ever walked out.
Amen.
There was Bible knowledge. In my 12 years, I don't ever recall any teacher said anything contrary to the Bible. Not saying they're all Christians. Not saying that. But today, it's not like that. People don't know much. They don't know. I think I gave the illustration of a football player. That when he'd go to these games, he'd see how people hold up a sign, John 3:16. It's all it said, John 3:16. So you go to Philadelphia, it's John 3:16, Dallas, John 3:16, Chicago, John 3:16, Baltimore, John 3:16, Washington, John 3:16. So he asks one of his teammates, what is John 3:16? Now, wouldn't you think everyone on earth would know John 3:16? His neighbor, his fellow player said, I think it's some verse in the Bible. That's all. So that guy didn't know. So the first guy went to a bookstore and got a Bible, looked up John 3:16, and got saved.
Amen.
Now, I don't know who that person was in the stadium that had that sign up. You think they might get a little a little tidbit award for just putting up John 3:16 and got this guy's attention. I think everybody would know that. But they don't. So we want to make it known, understanding with simplicity. I trust my sermons are practical and down to earth. I'm not interested in man's wisdom. I want God's wisdom. And don't make it complicated. That's why my wife has the smartphone. I have the dumb phone. So I let her do the calling. But make it simple. We're sinners. Christ died for sinners. If we receive him as our Savior, call the name of the Lord, we can be saved. It's so simple to acknowledge what we are. It shouldn't be hard to admit that we're sinners. If you won't admit it, I know your spouse would or somebody else would. So we're all sinners. And Christ came to die for sinners. He paid the price on Calvary's cross and said, "It is finished." So we receive Christ and our debt is paid. So that's how salvation is. Let's not make it complicated. It's receiving Jesus as our Savior. He said, but I want to make known the mystery. Salvation to a lot of people is mystery. I've known of people, when I witness to them, their response is, "Well, I'm just as good as you are." I said, "You're in serious trouble. You're in serious trouble if you're doing this as good as I am. Because I'm not good enough to get to heaven. And that doesn't get me there. It's Jesus." So the natural man doesn't understand, what's it mean to know Jesus as your Savior? One time I was witnessing to a fellow when I was in college. And one of the evidences of my salvation is what you would say the same thing. Answer a prayer. How do you know God's alive? He answers prayer. How do I know you're alive when your phone rings and you pick the phone up? I figure, well, it's not a recording. It's Frank. He's alive. You pray, God is alive. And so I was telling this guy about God being alive in my life. And he just kept saying, "It was luck. It was luck." He didn't know I had all day to talk about God's answer prayer. Finally, he just gave up, went away. It's not luck. It's God. But to the world, it's a mystery. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're a foolishness to him. Go to church. What do you get out of going to church? Well, fellowship, singing, praising the Lord, having prayer, a lot of things about church. And then it says the mystery of the gospel. What I just told you. People want to work and all these things they do to get to heaven, and God wants to give it to you. But if you work it, you might lose it. But the one who gave it keeps us. And the gospel is, as I just mentioned, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming. What I try to do in our life, in our marriage, we always have something we're looking forward to on earth. We're looking forward. We heard the Gaithers Thursday night in Hershey. Talk about not going to sleep. If you go to sleep on a Gaither concert, you must be deaf and dead. Then this evening, we're going to go see it. We're going to go see I Heard the Bells. Then we have other things we're going to do. Then we're going to go to the farm show in Harrisburg in January. Then we're going to do this. We're going to do that. In the meantime, that trumpet might sound and we're out of here. Mm-hmm. If the rapture took place right now, on my desk in my office, one of my Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians, to the passage says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. So the rapture takes place right now. They eventually get into Mark's home. They go in my office. They see a pen there. And it's from New Carrollton Bible Church. And they wonder, where'd he go? Well, it says, the trumpet sounded. He's out of here. Now, the world doesn't believe that. That's pie in the sky. No, it isn't. It's the hope of the coming of Christ. And it says, Paul said, I was an ambassador. Now, what's an ambassador? An ambassador represents some other country. When my wife and I were in Washington Bible College, it was downtown on Rhode Island Avenue. And 16th Street is known as Embassy Road. And so you drive by all these, there's just rows and rows of embassies. And they proudly have their flag out front. And you go in there and ask questions. It was good for those of being missionaries because you go right down there and get your passport a lot easier than it is nowadays. But they're representing that country. So who do we represent? We represent Christ. We represent heaven. We represent the Lord. So people look at us and they think, is that what heaven's like? They're mean and nasty and they fight each other. No, we want them to see Jesus. We want them to know we're in a different kingdom, the kingdom of his son. But know what Paul says, he is an ambassador in chains. When he wrote this letter, he was in prison in chains. Now, I've asked this question a number of times. When Paul was in prison, who was the prisoner? Think about it. The apostle Paul, or that poor Roman soldier who got a pour it. Got to put in 8 hours of Paul preaching to him. When he made that shift is over, who was the prisoner? Paul or him? Paul was not a prisoner to God. He said, I'm a ambassador in chains. He said, but the word of God is not bound. I'm bound, but the word of God is not bound. So whatever situation you're in, God puts you there. He said, the last part of this, that in I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We want to share the gospel. It's important for us to know our sins are forgiven. But then we want others to see us. We want others in the family of God. I assume here that the Baker family is well received. Well, the family of God is well received. And I enjoy being with people that love the Lord. Their sins are forgiven. They're going to heaven. We're not perfect. But we're being perfected and we're being led by the Spirit. May we wear the armor for God's glory. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your grace and kindness. Thank you for giving us this armor. Now you've told us how to use it. That in all of this, you will receive the glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Here's a reference to number 88. Please stand if you're able.
Blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.